and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate agents for Chicago real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host through the show. And today we have a fantastic, amazing interview with Sohail Salahuddin. But before we get to him, I wanted to do a few quick announcements. First of all, thank you so much. We just crossed over the 1,000 subscriber mark and we're so thrilled. I know a lot of you have been telling other brokers in your offices to listen to the show. And if this is your first time listening, what is the show all about? What we do is interview top Chicago real estate agents and ask them how they became successful in the hopes that that could be information that you could use in your own practice to increase your business, right? So the best way you could always help us is to share it with a friend. So if you have other brokers that you're aware of that you think could benefit from the show, please pass this along. We really appreciate it. Also, if there's any brokers that you think we should be interviewing, that we should be talking to, you can let us know that as well. So there's obviously a number of ways to listen to the show. We're on all the various podcast directories. Also, you can stream all the episodes directly from our website, which is keepingitrealpod.com. That's the same place you can also go to submit recommendations of brokers that we should be communicating with and interviewing. And by the way, you can nominate yourself. Lastly, we are starting to take sponsorships per episode. So we'll be starting that probably in a few episodes as soon as the dust settles a little bit. We're pretty busy, but we have sponsors lined up for future episodes. So if you're a sponsor that would like to get in front of 1,000 plus brokers who are listening to the show, you can reach out and become one of our sponsors. You can do that on our website, keepingitrealpod.com. Okay, thanks for listening to all of that. And on with our interview with Sohail. All right, today on the show, we have Sohail Salahuddin, who started in the real estate industry as an investor when he was just 20 years old, making his first purchase on a single family home. After that, he became bit by the real estate bug and started buying multi-unit buildings within a year. From there, Sohail has owned and operated a successful mortgage company while he transitioned ultimately to residential real estate sales. He became involved with development, has built houses, bought and sold many properties, and worked on large condo conversions. Sohail really had a passion for helping others achieve their goals as he had, so he turned his focus to brokerage services and opened up his own firm. Sohail founded the Sohail Real Estate Group in 2012. He has a clear vision to help people achieve their goals, providing white glove service to all his clients that are above and beyond other real estate brokerages. Sohail has earned awards from the Chicago Association of Realtors year after year for outstanding achievements, as well as awarded top producer of his industry. Sohail, thank you and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, DJ. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all ours. Can you talk a little bit about, you have such an interesting history of getting involved in real estate really as a young age. Can you walk us through that journey of how you got to where you are now?
Yeah. I've been through many ups and downs, but so at a young age, I started just with my first property. I was renting previously. I started renting at a young age too, so I was on my own pretty young. And my landlord was doing mortgages, and she was an investor. And so when I was renting from her, she said, "Why don't you buy a house? There's a lot of money. The real estate market's good." And I said, "How do I do that?
Sure.
Right? I don't know if I can." And so she helped me. She was a real estate broker. She was a mortgage broker. And she helped me get my first property. From that point on, I just kind of got bit. I bought a 3-unit building in Jefferson Park was my first bigger investment. And then it went on from there. I would say that throughout the process, as an investor there, and real estate also in general, it's like a roller coaster ride, but the process is really the process, all the challenges, that's kind of where all the magic happens.
And, sure.
And then I from when I was buying, I got into mortgages first before I got into brokerage. And the reason I got into mortgages because when I was buying a property, the mortgage broker was a young guy, and I saw his check, right?
Right.
And I said, "Whoa!" I said, that's how much money you made? And he said, yeah. And I said, God, how'd you get into this business? And he said, well, I just, you know, just went and started working for this guy at this company. And I said, you have a finance degree? Turns out I don't think he even had a high school degree. So,
sure.
Yeah. So then I started doing some research, and then I kind of got into it from that point on in the mortgage side.
Sure. What years were you involved in mortgages? Was this before the?
No, it was during the before the crash. 2005 is kind of really when I got into it.
Sure. You saw some good years, I imagine, in mortgage.
Some very good years. Yeah. I mean, extremely, extremely good. It was, I think, one of the really good years. I had a partner for a while. I opened up a mortgage company. I had a partner. And then when we got into condo conversions development, it was a really good year. That was right before the crash, and there were big developments, so like 500 plus units.
Wow.
And so we'd get a little piece of the profit from the units. Majority of the time we were listing them, we're also representing the buyer side, and then we're also financing them. So
that is truly impressive.
Yeah, that was a good year for sure. And that was in 2006, 2007.
Gotcha. And then, so as the crash happened, how did you shift your business?
So as the crash happened, so with the condo conversions, a lot of the people that purchased were investors, because in Illinois,
sure,
you have to have a minimum of a 30-day first right of refusal for the tenants when you convert an apartment building to condos.
Right.
And when that would happen, it attracted a lot of investors. So because I represented the investors when they purchased, they wanted the tenants to stay. And anytime a tenant moved out, they would come back to me and ask me to find a new tenant. And for a while I was doing it for free just because I didn't know any better and I felt kind of obligated.
Sure.
And then an attorney that I was working with said, you know, there's companies that charge for that. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, I was just green. I didn't really know too much about the rental industry.
Sure.
As far as a service goes. And he said to me, yeah, they charge 1 month's rent. And he said,
right.
And I said, well, I sold it to these people. He's like, yeah, but that's, your obligation's over. So the next time someone asked me if I could find them a tenant, I said, sure, I'll have to charge you a month's rent. And they said, yeah, of course. I don't, just find me a tenant. So they didn't
right.
want the money. They just wanted a tenant. And I made probably at least $10,000 just renting apartments on the side.
Yeah.
And then the person that gave me the idea, I thanked him for it. And then a light bulb went off in his head. And the next day he called me, he said, hey, let's meet for lunch. I have an idea. And then we kind of got into the rental business, which, you know, I have to say it was very fortunate because this is when the market started crashing.
Right.
So it was a nice transition from doing sales and mortgages to focusing on rentals.
Yeah, for sure. And then also you're setting yourself up for future. I mean, you obviously already know this, but hopefully you're setting yourself up for future sales when these renters get to that point down the road.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. You know, I didn't really think about it that way. I was just in the moment.
Sure. Right, sure.
On my end, I was mostly managing, so I wasn't focused too much.
Gotcha.
I was doing some one-on-one with clients, but not like I'm doing now. So I was managing. I was still doing production myself. But I really think I didn't think too far ahead into the future.
Right. Yeah. You were a developer, really. And so yeah, it wasn't as much focused
not
on,
a developer.
On that.
I
sort
wasn't
of...
really thinking about I wasn't thinking about, okay, these people that are renting now, they're gonna be buying in the future. I just
sure.
The market was so bad it would
right.
Yeah,
right.
I didn't know when that was gonna happen. So
it's a good
but
point.
A lot of yeah. But you know, a lot of people did come back to me. And funny enough, because 4 or 5 years later, they would come back and they said that, you know, they remembered me and did such a great job that they wanted to work with me again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's amazing to me and probably this, you know, it's often lost on the people that are this way because to them, they're just this way. But this, it seems like you have this really impressive ability to just pivot and adapt. Your career has gone through multiple, you know, incarnations. And, you know, when the market's bad, great. We pivoted to rentals and you know, flourished in that area, which I would think most brokers probably did, you know, and I know you weren't necessarily a traditional broker at that point, but, most people just didn't do that at all. And so I find that they just kind of weathered the storm, and I find it very, and you know, sort of entrepreneurial and also just intelligent to sort of think about, well, let's pivot over to rentals. And then, and so, okay, so you got, you know, you were doing rentals in addition to, you know, other things. And then how did that, and then how, then what happened after, as you started doing more of that?
You know, that we had a good successful run with the company until about 2011.
Okay.
There were some personal relationship issues that were involved, which impeded the company's future progress. But at the same time, sure. I think it worked out well because there are so many, you know, when we first did it, there was only probably two major competitors with us.
Sure.
And
sure.
By the time we were at the end of the business, there was a leasing office in every single corner, literally throughout the
country. That's right. There are.
And for every person that wanted to rent a property or every landlord that wanted to have their property rented, there are about at least 10 plus different people that they could work with. So there are more people in the business than there are people probably as far as a client base looking.
It's a good point.
So it became more difficult, and I had to shift again. I shifted back to, I eventually went with a group of people. We had went to Sotheby's. Jamieson Sotheby's.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so we were working not like a close-knit functional team. It was kind of more like a small brokerage under the Sotheby's umbrella. And then eventually from there, I went into, started learning, right? Because I'm always trying to learn and figure out how to improve my business. And so I learned how to really pull together a team. And you don't need a lot of people. You just need really effective people.
That's very, very true.
And so, yeah.
How have you built that team as far as what, you know, what are some of the qualities you've looked for in team members?
It's a constant struggle, I'll be honest. It's hard to find.
Sure, of course, yeah.
Luckily I have some really good people on my team who have been with me for, you know, 5 to 8 years. And then I have some great staff. Now the staff is, I think, one of the most important elements is to have your back end office set up really smooth, so all the systems in place, so it's streamlined. And for me, I'm best when I focus just on producing. So I'd be the rainmaker.
Sure.
I think that's my biggest downfall. At the same time, it's hard to find good people to put on a team. You know.
Yes, I can definitely appreciate that and understand it. I wanted to give you a big compliment because I was visiting your website and you know, real estate websites are certainly a dime a dozen and lots of brokers have them, and some of them are good and some aren't. Yours is, I believe, a good one. But what I loved in particular, or what I thought was really, what I liked rather about it, and I imagine people who visit the site like this as well, is on your homepage, you have a short video, and it's less than a couple of 2 minutes, but it specifically is like, hey, you're here at this website because, you know, one of a few reasons, you know, you need help buying or selling or renting, and here's what we do. We have what we call the sales selling strategy, and here are the 5 things I do that other brokers probably don't, or maybe they don't do as well, and you list them out. And I don't know how rare I suspect that is for someone even to have some sort of presentation like that. I suspect there's a lot of brokers who go into a listing presentation or a buyer's presentation and they just kind of go there with maybe a blank sheet of paper and it's like, all right, tell me what you're looking for, which I guess is fine. But I love the idea of you're like, okay, here's why people hire me. Here are the 5 things I do for them. And I thought it was really just simple and but like, you know, well laid out. And then at the end, it's like, hey, give me an opportunity to show you what we do. And I just thought that was really, really smart.
Right. That website you're looking at, it's a little outdated. It's kind of the same theory. I think that when you're selling a property, when you're listing it, it really comes down to just a few major factors, right? Those are the macro factors, and of course, there's the micro steps that my team does to make sure that we have an effective and efficient sale for the client.
Sure.
But those are kind of the macro factors that I put into there. Video, I think video is huge to be able to, instead of, people are more visual, and that's why they watch movies. So instead of having to read through a bunch of paragraphs on what you do for your business and the service you provide, it's better just to have a quick video of myself giving a quick 2-3 minute introduction.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I just love that you have a strategy, right? So there's so many brokers that probably don't. In fact, I know most brokers probably don't. And so I love the idea that you've thought this through, and it comes across, and again, this is in an industry where you could walk into a presentation with a blank sheet of paper, or you can go in there with a whole selling strategy. And to me, if it was me, I'd want to go in with a selling strategy personally. And other people do it different ways and have different levels of success, but I just think that was really smart. And also, it's very, you know, hey, it also gives somebody something tangible to sort of think about before potentially hiring you.
It's funny you say that. I think the magic actually happens. All the important information I try to give to the client before I even meet with them. So when I meet with them,
sure,
my goal is to be in and out of there within 15 to 30 minutes. Just have a very concise, effective conversation, questions based, right?
Sure.
And it's usually, it's almost the same thing as my business. It's pretty step by step on how I walk people through the necessary steps that we take to get their property sold.
Yeah, I mean, you have a system, and it's, you know, it's even on your website, there's a system. There's, you know, here's what we do. And ultimately, not only is it professional, I think, to have a system, but it also enables you to be really efficient, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I can come in, I can get in and out in 15, 20 minutes, because we've done a bunch of legwork already. And now we just have a few key things we need to tighten up. And I think that's, I think that's probably the better way. It would be the way I would do it if it was me. So anyway, I just noticed that, and I thought that was something that other people could learn from. It's like, so many brokers probably don't have a presentation. They don't have a process to that extent. And I think it's really smart to do that.
I think you're right, DJ.
Well, and this is always a question that nobody has a great answer for. So I understand that every day is different as a realtor. But what does your typical day look like? Or if you could plan sort of a perfect day, what would that entail?
It's pretty military-like.
I love that.
So it's going to sound crazy, but it's not to me, just because I've designed my life to, it fits my lifestyle. But I wake up at 2:30 a.m. and
wow.
I wake up at 2:30. I usually do some, a little bit of a spiritual, about a half an hour, something spiritual. And then I do a lot of mindset, I guess, things to just make my mindset really strong for the day, right? Get myself
sure.
in a good mood, stay positive. I usually read in the morning too for about, it just depends. I've taught myself how to speed read, so I could read pretty fast. So I'll read a few chapters mm-hmm. of a book. It takes me about 10 minutes to go through, you know, a pretty good part of the book I can get through in 10 minutes.
Sure.
And then I'll hit my emails. Through the emails, it's responding to emails that came through. A lot of times I got to send CMAs to people or an email presentation. And then it's my delegation to my team. So I'll do that in the morning as well. And then at 4 o'clock, wake up my wife and we go to the gym.
I love that the gym is like the seventh thing you've done by the time you've woken
right?
up.
Yeah. So, you know, she comes with me. We're usually at the gym about 4:15 to 4:30 and,
sure.
just have a really good, powerful workout. And then the rest of my day starts. So I get my kids ready for school. By 7, you know, I get myself ready. By 7:30, actually 7:15 to 7:30, I'm role playing with other people from across the country. Just our scripts and dialogues, and get ourselves ready for the day.
Yeah, let me pause on that, because that I don't want to gloss over that. I think that is so interesting. So what maybe other people may call a mastermind group of sorts, or just some sort of peer group. These are other real estate brokers
yep.
who or
yeah, other real estate brokers.
Awesome. And you guys are supporting each other or training each other or that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting, DJ, because a few years ago, in the past, I don't think I'd I'd really network with real estate brokers just because I was more focused on clients and I didn't see a value. And then I guess I opened up my mind a little bit to meeting with one person, and then that one meeting went into an expansion of now there's a group of us that spend time together. We're on the same path. We lift each other up. We support each other. Many of them are here in Chicagoland. In fact, on Saturday, we just had a little dinner out with a group of people who are brokers here in Chicago, which is a fantastic feeling to know that you have friends that are doing the same thing that you are, that you can talk about the same thing, and you're helping each other. Everybody's has their ups and downs. Everybody has good months, bad months, and at the same time, if you run into a problem, you have that support system in place where they can kind of help you if you need it to get through it.
That is so amazing. And you're doing that daily, it sounds like.
Yeah. So daily, I'm always on the phones every morning with somebody in the industry. And then from 8 a.m. until about noon, I start hunting for business.
And that's interesting too. Like, so you are the king of time blocking. It sounds like you're just like, okay, between 8 and 12, I hunt. Awesome. And then, we got to keep going with this guy. I love all of this. What happens after 12? What do you do at 12 o'clock?
At 12, I'm following up with my past clients. At 1 o'clock, I'm following up with my current clients. At 2 o'clock, I do an hour of, I have to spend an hour of something. Either I got to practice my skill set, I might watch some videos or something to keep my motivation high.
Sure.
Practicing my presentation. It could be anything like that, but I try to get at least an hour in a day. From 3 to 5 are my listing presentations, or at least I try to keep them between 3 and 5.
Sure.
From 5 to 7, I'm hunting again. And then 7:30 is usually dinner with the family.
Wow. That is, if you don't mind me asking, were you always somebody that didn't need a tremendous amount of sleep? Were you able to train yourself to do that?
I go to bed at 9. So I still get, 5.5 hours. So I'm still getting, 5.5 to 6 hours of sleep. And it doesn't sound like it's not that much, but if you think about, a lot of people will go to bed at midnight and wake up at 6.
That's true.
So it's sure. Still, I still get plenty of sleep. But yeah, I did have to slowly work back from waking up at 5 to 4:30 to 4 to 3:30 to 3.
Sure. That is unbelievable. That is military precision with your day, and I imagine it makes you incredibly efficient. And I imagine also, there's a lot of different research out there that, and again, for brokers, it's easier said than done. But this idea of like, okay, between 8 and 12, I'm hunting. I'm not, if there's an emergency, I'll answer an email or a phone call. But hey, that's, the door is closed and I'm hunting. I imagine you probably have some of those boundaries too. It's like, this is what I do, and I'll get back to you after 12 if right. I need to. But
when someone knocks on my door, I have to say, shh, I'm hunting buffalo. Right?
That is unbelievable. So let me ask you this: with all the experience you've had, and with some of the, you're a systems guy. Clearly, like, you have systems to manage your day. You have systems with your clients. We've talked about, and also you just have a tremendous amount of experience in the industry and in different areas of the industry. For somebody who is brand new, who just is getting their license, what advice would you give to them? What would you say?
100%. See, most of the brokerages don't offer like really good training. There's a couple.
Right. That's
yeah, I think, but that's the true. But the reality is, if they knew what it was really like, I think a lot of people would run. And brokerages don't want people to run because they want them to, right? That's how they grow the brokerage. They want to have a lot of agents.
Sure.
And continue to grow it. But I would say, before you get in business, or if you're just getting into the business, you have to understand that it's a lot of hard work. It's not, I'm in real estate, so I can have flexibility and have my own schedule. I mean, you could have those things, but you have to pay the price before you can get to that point, So you have to work your ass off for about the first 3 to 5 years. It's going to be a lot of rejection.
Absolutely.
The whole time you're going to be outside your comfort zone because that's the only way you're going to grow. And but if you do everything right for those 3 to 5 years, then you can start to build a team, which I would say is like a second phase. Once you start building a team, you can delegate out as much as you can, depending on the people you have. And I would say the last phase is when you build it perfectly, then you can kind of, that's when you get to have flexibility and do whatever you want, right? To a certain extent.
Sure. No, I love all of that. And now I...
But just to answer your question, anybody who's new in the business, definitely get a mentor, seek out mentorship, find somebody who's reached a certain level of success within their business and just ask them how they did it. You know, don't ask them what it's like now, but ask them all the struggles they've been through, because that, again, is where the magic happens.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's to your point, I don't think any of the schools that teach the licensing classes.
Yeah.
You know, just so you know, you're going to be, you know, meeting new people every day for the next 2 years, and then maybe you'll start getting, you know, a relatively decent client base, but and longer even. And also you're going to be, you know, answering, you know, questions you don't know the answers to, and having to figure that out for the first few years. But that is awesome. I think we really can end on that, because you've said so much for a lot of people. We have hundreds and hundreds of listeners who are brokers, and I think they're going to get a lot just from you know, even you talking about how you structure your day. And so what I want to make sure I do is mention Sohail's website, which I think does give you a good understanding of some of how he operates. You know, you can feel his presence by even watching the videos or just kind of reading through his bio and what his team offers. But it's Sohail, which is Sohail, realestate.com. So if there are any buyers, sellers, even renters that would like to speak to you or your team, what would be the best way that they should reach out to you?
So email is always good, because I can respond quicker. And it's my first name, Sohail, which is Sohail, at SohailRealEstate.com. I have another website too, DJ, which is it's SohailRealEstateTeam.com, which is a little more updated and also kind of speaks to everybody. And then, of course, anybody can reach me. I'm always available to clients directly, which I think is something that's different from a lot of people. But they could call me directly at 312-437-7799.
Well, Sohail, we're so grateful for your time, because I know how precious time is to you, and you take it very seriously, and for you to take a few moments out of your day, more than a few moments, is appreciated. So thank you so much, and keep up all the amazing work, and I will do my best to start waking up a little bit earlier. I don't know that I'm pretty sure I can't get to 2:30, but even if I just got to 5,
there
I think
you go.
That would be... Amazing.
You know, you just start one step at a time, right?
That's true. All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, DJ.
Thank you.